This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are, however, going to be moving on to our next story, which is, you know, kind of in a theme with something we spoke about earlier this week about whether or not former convicts should be given a second chance. Today, it's about Malaysian terrorists. Should they be welcomed back into the country?
According to the police, Malaysia is trying to bring back 13 Malaysians who went to fight for IS in Syria and Iraq. The 13 want to return as the terror organisation crumbles. Ayub Khan Maidin Piche, the police's head of counterterrorism, said they would be allowed to come back provided they complied with checks and enforcement and complete a one-month government-run rehab programme. Thorough checks and investigations will be done on each returnee with the involvement of clerics and psychologists to evaluate their ideology and psychological makeup.
He also went on to say that intelligence from friendly foreign services will also be used here. And if there is evidence that a returnee was involved in militant activities, then he or she would be charged in court. So analysts and experts are pretty mixed on this. A counterterrorism expert has backed the idea, saying that Malaysia can use the returning recruits in order to study the mindset of militants. Andrin Raj of the International Association for Counterterrorism and Security Professionals, Centre for Security Studies, that is a very long organisation name, explained that being able to deconstruct the psyche would be valuable insight for de-radicalisation efforts.
Separately, the Malay Mail spoke to Ahmad Fauzi Abdul Hamid, political science professor at USM, who said that we should exercise extreme caution when doing so. Bringing up the attack in New Zealand as an example, he added that with the toxic ethno-religious policies in Malaysia, people can easily get fired up, and being former militants, they can easily be sensitised in an unexpected and dangerous way.
So let us know what you think about the matter. Would you say that we should be welcoming back people who did leave the country, right? In order to fight in this war, should we welcome them back? You can call, you can message us. Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Don't call us just yet because we do have on the line Andrin Raj himself, and we will be getting to that after this. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are addressing this issue of whether or not, IS militants who are Malaysians, whether or not they should be allowed or welcomed even back into the country. Let's cross over now to Andrin Raj, who was quoted in the article that we mentioned earlier. Andrin, thank you so much for joining us. Talk us through the process by which the government weighs and assesses the risks of accepting a former recruit back into the country.
Right now, the Malaysian counterterrorism branch of the Royal Malaysian Police have an assessment already in place for the last 10 years. So it is the prerogative of the counterterrorism division in Malaysia to go through the assessment to identify the levels of the threat associated to each individual to see what levels of the legal proceedings that they should be placed under, whether they should be detained as a criminal, whether they can let loose into the public domain, whether they need to go through a de-radicalization program. So there are a couple of assessments that they will do, but these are just examples of the threat assessment that the counterterrorism division in Malaysia will undertake.
What are the options for former recruits if they are not allowed to return to their home country?
Well, the only options that they have will be in camps that have been set by each country. And this could be in refugee camps or designated camps given by the said country where these terrorists would probably flee into the neighboring battlefield area or the country that allows foreign terrorists that want the defect to come into their country. There could be more Malaysians besides the 13 or the 100 for that matter who have not decided to come back and who have decided to defect but still live within the camps in the Middle East.
Right. And for the former recruits who, let's say, are brought home, is there a judicial mechanism in place to address perhaps the war crimes that they may have committed?
Yes, Malaysia does have the legality and the laws to address these sorts of threats. It goes back to our first insurgency with the communists that were operating in Malaysia. And that law still exists today, but in a different manner to address the current threats of terrorism. With the running laws of SOSMA, which is actually right now a major debate in Malaysia, there are other laws that actually addresses these kinds of threats. So Malaysia is actually prepared to address the legality of these returning terrorists.
So, as you mentioned earlier, some of those who return have to go through a de-radicalization program. What does that entail and what happens once they've completed it?
The DRAD program will actually ascertain and bring them out of the narratives that they were actually kind of brought into to believe of the global jihad means and ways of living and fighting. So this DRAD program will counter those narratives from the religious point of view, as well as the community services point of view. And from then on, they will be assessed to see whether they can actually be released into society. But then again, they will be monitored for a period of a year or 2 years for that matter. And once they are actually believed to be have associated or assimilated back into society, the authorities will allow them to move freely within the community. But they will be guided to come back into society and to start work and to actually, garner some sort of employment within the community itself.
And when we look at the current de-radicalization process, you know, what are some of the flaws in it?
The drawbacks are probably in the security agencies as well. In sense that prisons officers could be also influenced by inmates to be radicalized themselves. And the authorities need to ascertain that these wardens, security agencies, do not fall into that particular trap. Now, institutionalized radicalization has evolved in Malaysia over a period of 5 years. And this is something that the Malaysian government needs to address in order to combat and counter terrorist threats, especially religious terrorist threats.
Considering that there are risks to bringing former recruits back, why is it nevertheless important to do so?
Well, one, they still are Malaysian citizens unless they are stripped off of their citizenship. And this is all under the purview of the Malaysian government. But the fact is, bringing back these terrorists or inmates, if they are already in Malaysia, will allow Malaysia to better understand the narratives that they have gone through in order to better Malaysia's DRAD program, as well as to prevent further occurrence of radicalization and violent extremism within Malaysia itself. Now, the fact is, homegrown terrorism will increase and radicalization will also be a threat due to the fact that foreign fighters are now returning, but less than 1% of these foreign fighters will actually commit an attack in their home country. They will probably be advisors, logistics handlers to support existing homegrown terrorism. With their battlefield experience, with their operational skills, they are able to influence the locals in order to carry out the cause of jihad.
Right. And, you know, just to say, the messages that we're receiving even now as we're talking about this is overwhelmingly not in favour of having them back in the country. And of course, there is that public concern that if you bring back former IS fighters, it threatens national security. How would the government then manage that perception?
Of course, the Malaysian authorities will take precedence in this manner. But the fact is that Southeast Asia is the next wave for the growth of Daesh in Southeast Asia. So the movement and the logistics that are actually in place right now is pushing forward into the Philippines. So many of these foreign fighters will use Malaysia as a conduit to move to southern Philippines to continue the global jihad. But at the end of the day, it will be the government and the authorities to decide on the fate of this returning terrorist. And citizens will have to actually adapt and understand why the Malaysian authorities are bringing them back to Malaysia. And this will be in order to better protect Malaysians from further getting into the cause of terrorism.
With the insights that you hope to get from former recruits, how much of that information is shared with citizens in order to help improve public awareness on how radicalization could happen?
In sense of understanding the motivational factors, the law enforcement agencies will garner as much information as they can from each individual and to come up with their own assessment. These assessments could or are probably shared within the region so other countries can actually determine how to go about in their de-radicalization program. But for the public to know or have this knowledge, it is actually a security consideration by the authorities. What netizens need to do is to be aware of the threats of violent extremism and terrorism or radicalization occurring within their community. And this is where non-government organizations can play a role in providing awareness program in terrorism, radicalization or violent extremism. And this is what we are currently providing, the awareness training on terrorism and radicalization.
Andrian, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Andrian Raj, the Southeast Asian Regional Director for the International Association for Counterterrorism and Security Professionals Center for Security Studies. It is a very long organization name. And we've been receiving messages on the subject, including this from Jay.
No, they chose who to fight for, so it's treason. ISIS is a very dangerous idea, and I believe the government, who does not have first-hand experience in combating such groups, should take them in. Furthermore, why should we be the scapegoat in testing ISIS returnees? Let the states of the Middle East take them. Also, you cannot kill an idea.
On that note, Vivigan says, how do we plan to hit the reset button in the mind of a radical with just 1 month of rehab? I'm sure the analysts and decision makers have all sorts of numbers and stats to back up their proposal. But come on, most people can't even kick a habit of changing lanes without using their blinkers in 1 month, let alone resetting the mind of a militant. Thank you to everybody else for sending in those messages. Unfortunately, we don't have time to get to them. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.